It's the Brouhaha Podcast with Steve Jackson and Mark Carpenter.
This is the Hot Monk Drive Brouhaha with Mark Carpenter from Anchor. Well, he started at Anchor in 71. He's now retired, but still hangs and...
Just enjoying life, and I have a beer here today I think you'll be glad to hear about from the Anchor Brewing Company.
All right. And Herlinda's here, of course. Coming up, the Dutch Beer Academy. In fact, they drove, as I've been saying all day, from Holland over the Trump's new transatlantic bridge, which I think is a great deal. Can't build a wall, but that transatlantic bridge is something, isn't it?
It's been getting a lot of use lately.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had a bunch of people driving over that
now
thing.
Now, if he just go over it, then we'd be okay.
Yeah. Somebody show Donald how to get over the transatlantic bridge. And then it's Holland's problem. You hear me out there? Then it'll be your problem. Okay. So, huge news. Anchor Brewing has been sold to Sapporo of Japan. Now, again, Mark Carpenter started working at Anchor in San Francisco in 1971. Let's start with getting your thoughts on all this.
Yeah, you know, I think it's in the long run, it's going to be good for the brewery. You know, Fritz sold it to Tony and Keith, and they've been doing their best to keep things rolling along.
And that was about 6 years ago, you
correct.
Said.
Correct, 6, 7 years ago, something like that. And... but in today's beer environment, it's tough for the more traditional breweries like Anchor that are selling across the country when the demand is for local and small and new. And so it's been a problem for us, for Sierra, for others. And so Tony and Keith have been fighting the good fight, and they had a chance to sell to Sapporo. And I think it's great because I think what's needed these days, and I don't know that Sapporo agrees with me, but I think what's needed these days is a successful brewery is going to have their own bars. If you look around at the larger small breweries, you'll see they usually have brew pubs here and there. If Anchor wants to...
Gordon Biersch. They started a whole chain of restaurants.
Exactly. I started that way.
Yeah.
But if Anchor wants to continue to sell in New York, they need a bar in New York. If they want to sell in Chicago, they need a bar in Chicago. And Sapporo will have the wherewithal, have the financing to do it, whereas Tony and Keith would not. So I think this could be a very good thing. Everybody's keeping their job. There's no changes. Keith called me last night at home. I thought it was very nice of him to give me a heads up.
One of the new owners that Tony's...
The former owner.
The ones before, between Fritz and Sapporo.
Right. That's what I meant.
Keith Greger. And I was so flattered that he called me at home. You know, there's no reason he should have to do that. But to fill me in on it, we had a nice conversation. And they're committed to keeping everyone at the brewery, keeping the brewery in San Francisco, only brewing steam at the brewery, not brewing Sapporo at our brewery. I think they realize what a great brand it is and how closely related to San Francisco. Even when I, you know, as long as I was there, we had lots of visits from Japanese brewers because they keep in touch with what's going on around the world. And Fritz speaks Japanese, and so
yes, he does.
He lived in Japan a short time, and he was studying Japanese
literature.
So he always was happy to visit with the Japanese brewers and to keep up with what's going on. So it's my guess he's happy with the situation.
All right. Now, again, Anchor Brewing is the company widely credited with sparking the craft beer movement here in the United States back in the 60s.
Fritz
Maytag.
Fritz took it over in 1965.
Wow. And you started in 71.
71.
Now, Sapporo is the number one top-selling Asian beer here in the U.S.
Yep.
How does this relate to... Lagunitas selling to Heineken and then others selling to BevMo, which is Anheuser-Busch
AB
and
InBev.
Such.
Oh, AB InBev. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I mean, it's
BevMo.
I would think it's very similar, you know, that Sapporo has purchased a couple other smaller breweries, one in Canada, Sleeman's, and so they have a plan, no doubt. So it's a very similar situation, you know, and And just yesterday I was reading, you know, I've mentioned a few times on the show, there's over 5,000 breweries in the U.S., but I just read yesterday, there's the Brewers Association said there's over 2,500 that are in the planning. So this is just unbelievable amount of brewers on the map. And so I think all brewers are going to be in a transition period, you know. But so I think this is good for Anchor.
Well, like Heineken buying Lagunitas, and Tony McGee, founder of Lagunitas, and all their folks say that it's not going to change anything that they do.
It's made Heineken cool again, having Lagunitas in their repertoire.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And also their culture and which we're going to talk more about with our friend here from Holland, because that's Heineken is actually, you know, in the Netherlands as well. Their culture is actually pretty cool there. They're a little bit more open, I should say, as Lagunitas is as well. But I told I message marked it because I kind of knew this was in the works with a sale. So I wasn't shocked this morning, but Tara Neuron actually messaged me this morning as I woke me up to tell me
the Forbes beer writer.
Yes, to tell me, hey, guess what? And you know, Anchor got sold. And I messaged Mark. I'm like, I'm sure you know this, but I can't help this. I'm crying a little bit. And he said, "Don't cry. This is good for the employees, and I'm bringing beer today." But for me, when I travel, you know, I travel a lot, and when I go to Europe, everyone in Europe loves Anchor. When they come to California, when they come to San Francisco, they want to go to Anchor. They want to see the Golden Gate Bridge, and they want to have an Anchor. And when I think of San Francisco and home, I think of an Anchor beer at the Giants game and the Golden Gate Bridge. I take my international Navy students from the Naval War College. I've toured 62 different nations to Anchor Brewery. So far.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, for beers. And then I think of the gold miners who were drinking Anchor Steam. And it's not gone. It's not like it's closed. So this is better, much better than if they had closed. But the gold miners were drinking the steam beer back in, you know, in the 1800s.
Well, Anchor opened at first in 1896,
right? 1896. I read today, which I didn't know, Sapporo is older.
Really?
They're from 1875, I think. I may not have that year quite right, but yeah.
Well,
but then in 65, as you mentioned, they were falling on hard times.
Were they? They were going out of business.
Okay, and then Frederick Louis Maytag III, known as Fritz, and yes, Maytag.
Yes.
The Maytag washer, dryer, and all that.
Yes.
That's his family, which allowed him to have the money to buy it.
Correct.
And then,
but at the time, believe me, he paid almost nothing for it. He once said, he never tells the amount, but he says, "Oh, I didn't pay any more than you'd pay for a car in those days, you know." And
wow.
And you know, in 65, cars were not expensive.
$2,000.
Yeah, exactly. And but he wasn't buying much. The brewery had no bottling line. It only had one pump to pump the wort from the kettle up to the cool ship, and the rest was by gravity. So he had to really build a brewery. He was buying really a 18th century brewery that needed a lot of work.
I have a cool story about Sapporo that you would like, Steve.
You know, I do like Sapporo.
Yeah, it's a great beer.
Yeah.
And it's actually, and Tara said today, she goes, she called Unibrow in Canada, who Sapporo had bought before, and she said, "How are you guys being treated?" And they're being treated really well. So when I went backstage to meet Robert Plant, when Robert Plant's son that owns Beavertown Brewery in England, in London, set me up to go backstage after one of Robert Plant's shows in Denver. When Robert came to greet me, the golden god that he was holding a Sapporo. And I said, "You're not drinking your son's beer in a beer town?" And he said, "Well, A, it's a little bit hard to carry." He goes, "But I like a nice, fresh, cold Sapporo after I've been running around on stage. It's light, it's easy to drink, and it's easier on an old guy's stomach."
I love it when she drops names.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
She knows everyone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because last night I was talking to Paul McCartney and he said, "Steve, don't drop names on your show."
Yeah.
It's probably not a good thing.
Yeah.
It's the Drive Hop Monk Brouhaha. Today, we're featuring some friends from Holland. I'm going to let Herlinda introduce. They're staying with Herlinda here. They're on a 30-day honeymoon, which I can't even imagine. 30 hours was more than enough for me three or four times. But I'll let Herlinda introduce our guests.
And her husband, Jeroen, and they are out here from the lovely city of Apeldoorn in the Netherlands, which is about an hour and a half train ride from Amsterdam, which is a lot of fun. I went there too. I was their guest in Apeldoorn in March. We met judging the Iberian Beer Awards in Portugal last year, so we've judged that twice together, and she said, come on out, and I needed to learn about Dutch beer, and that worked out really, really well, and now she's here touring, and it's their honeymoon, but they came out here for their honeymoon just to see you, Steve, on the drive.
Yes, and thanks to, again, our president for that bridge.
Yeah, so we brought, we do have a Dutch beer at La Trappe, although they almost got a Trump there. Geert, was that his name?
Geert.
Geert.
Yeah.
He was like radical right wing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he didn't, but that election was while I was there, and they were expecting protests. Not a protest, nothing, no problems. No. Very civilized there.
Okay, now, we have to let her talk, because she, you born and raised in Holland? Or?
Yeah, the Netherlands, yeah.
And oh, now you're kind of throwing on a Dutch accent.
Right. You want me to put the American accent back on?
Yeah, I've been giving her grief because she sounds more American than I do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Oh, right.
You're
okay.
Some more California.
Well, fair enough. Well, California has been treating us well, so... Yeah,
all right, and you were here studying in America for like a year or something?
A semester during college.
One semester, and she sounds more American than me.
Yeah, I have a lot of English friends and American friends, and I did a summer job with American kids while I was in college, and they came over, so I... Basically, all the English I ever hear is
she's
American.
A better tan than both of us. Did you notice that? She looks more Californian than both of us now.
Oh, yeah. Nicole totally called this the
nice
California
hair.
The California tan, because up here, I'm really tanned, but my legs are really white because
Well,
it gets cold out here at night.
Wait, white?
Yeah.
All right, I'm showing you my legs right now.
See white?
Blinding. And those blue and white striped socks with the red shoes. Those
awesome.
Are
classic.
I can see why you're proud of those.
Yeah.
Awesome. And what I forgot to mention, though, too, is Kim is the owner of the Dutch Beer Academy in the Netherlands, which is actually a franchise of the London Beer Academy.
Well, it's my own company, but right. I do a part of it is a franchise. Yeah.
Do we have an American Beer Academy? Or are you planning on that? Or
well, if a job is offered, who knows?
She sounds American.
Well, explain the Dutch Beer Academy. I'm looking at DutchBeerAcademy.nl.
Yeah, .com works too, but NL
or .com.
Yeah,
NL,
Netherlands.
What is NL? Oh,
Netherlands.
Netherlands. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So what we do is we train people in restaurants and bars, basically anyone working with beer or interested in beer. I can give them a training, like what is beer, how do you taste beer, how do you sell beer, how do you get people to drink more beer, because there's tricks for that.
And all styles, not just Dutch.
Yeah. And it's not just Dutch beers, though. It's called the Dutch Beer Academy because, well, it's in the Netherlands, so that's why the Dutch Beer Academy. Yeah, it's great. And we do a lot of tastings as well. I judge also.
Which is how we met.
And that's how we met, judging in Portugal, which was awesome. Great, great adventure. So, yeah, that's what I do. I write anything beer-related, basically. I love it.
Is this the ratebeer.com of... the Netherlands?
No. It's not a rating site. No. She actually goes and trains people. It's kind of like what... that is a stroop. That is a
Looks like I'm eating a beehive.
Dutch waffle. And it actually tastes really good with beer. Try
it.
It's
good.
Yeah, they're very good. I ate a lot of those in Holland while I was there. So the stroop is like a skinny little waffle.
Yeah.
But...
oh, that's really good.
Yeah, so when we were in Holland, in the Netherlands, she took me to the Dutch National Forest, which is near her house. We went to Amsterdam, and we also went to Rotterdam.
Oh, and La Trappe.
And La Trappe, which which we have some right here. So La Trappe is another Trappist brewery. People usually think of Belgium when they think of Trappist breweries.
Oh, so these are the monks making the beer?
Yes, and she used to work for them, so I'm going to let you tell her
really?
A little bit. That's a serious history there. But how long have the Dutch been making beer?
Like forever. No, honestly, it's very old because we were up north. So the people who lived here, they weren't able to grow wines. So the wines that actually came here were too expensive. We have an expression in Dutch that means if you drink wine first and then beer, it means you... Well, you didn't do so well in the financial department because
it has nothing to do with throwing up or anything.
No, no. So up north, basically I'm struggling for a word here. We call it Germans, but it's not like the people there now. It's the people who used to live in the area where we live now, and they brew beer like from when they were there because we grow a lot of grain that grows well there. So it's the first alcoholic beverage we made. So honestly, since forever. Like,
then what about the La Trappe? So we went here, yeah. And the monks, it was a beautiful place, and they make cheese and food. But yeah,
are you tasting that, Mark?
Yeah.
Well, talk about what, I don't know what you, I've, you poured me something, I took a taste.
That was the Brotherhood steam beer from Anchor that Mark's going to tell you about.
I'm okay, Mark, talk about that.
Yeah. The Brotherhood steam?
Yeah.
Yeah, I brought in this Brotherhood.
Is this new?
It is fairly new. It's not brand new. But I brought it in today because this beer was born in Petaluma at McNear's bar. And the reason was Ken O'Donnell, who runs the place, called me and he said, come on down here. Chris Robinson is here.
From the Black Crows.
From the up and now the Chris Robinson Brotherhood.
Right.
And they want to have you make them a beer. And,
wow. And so they're big Anchor fans.
Yes. But they so I met them and then I dealt mainly with their band manager who had some real opinions about hops. And he and I discussed it and we did a kind of a test batch for
And you him. Went to Anchor in San Francisco and made it.
And then so we've been making it ever since, and we send it to all their concerts. And he's appearing next weekend at the Petaluma Music Festival.
Right.
And
we'll have them on next week. Is it this weekend or next weekend?
It's
this
next. Weekend. Next, not this one.
Okay. Well, we always have them on, Mike. Okay.
Yeah, and so this beer was made for that band, and I thought you might like it. It uses a Citra hop, which I love.
Well, you know my taste in beer,
yes.
As does Herlinda, mm-hmm. And yes, I really
thank you
like that.
Yeah, isn't it a wonderful flavor?
Yeah.
It's not overly hoppy, and the Citra hop has a nice kind of citrus flavor to it. And
I agree.
And mixed with a version of steam beer, we made some other little changes to the steam beer, and so this is... Anchor Brotherhood steam.
How'd you like that?
And this is a good food pairing beer, in my opinion.
Yes, I would agree with that.
I took a couple sips, and I'm thinking chicken or a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I won't disagree. That's great. Yeah, sounds
barbecue.
Good. You're making me hungry now, though.
Yeah, I'm starved.
Do you want another stroop waffle?
Thankfully, I have a waffle. Okay, so... this whatchamacallit stuff from Holland.
Yeah, this is actually pretty cool. What they started doing at La Trappe, the Trappist Brewery, they started brewing in 1884, I think.
I remember reading that in the paper.
Well, they started brewing a quadruple because, they could. And what they started doing is they started barrel aging those. So it's
quadruple.
Yeah, it means there used to be like a blonde and a double and a triple, and a blonde was called a single back then. It's like one scoop of malt in the same amount of water, and then
but it's
a double.
Malt, not hops. It's not like
it's
an
malt.
IPA or anything.
No,
okay.
No.
And it's referring to the alcohol, right?
Yeah,
the amount of alcohol.
Well, this is very malty. I like it.
It's delicious, huh?
And this is actually barrel aged in white wine barrels, 78%. Yeah, oak. So it's like my favorite one, Sancerre barrels.
Those nutty Trappist monks.
Yeah, but again, and
I've been thinking about
awesome.
Becoming a Trappist monk.
Too late.
Way I think you've had
life.
Sex
It'll
already.
Be easier.
Yeah.
I am way late in life, but okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And what they do is they age them, and then they just let it sit. And every once in a while, a new batch comes out. This is batch 26. I actually have a few of the first ones at home in my basement, in the safe, I should say. It's great. It's a good beer. And, yeah, we bought it when you were staying with us, and we drank some at the cafe as well. Yeah, well, it's good.
So what have been some of your favorite beers? So you guys have gone to San Diego, Las Vegas.
Yeah.
You guys did San Francisco, yeah. And they went to Big Sur area as well for camping. They went to Yosemite.
Her husband, yeah. Who will not speak, he and I were talking outside, and he, a 30-day honeymoon, and you're going all over the place, and you got the best tour guide you could ever get for this area, her Linda.
Mm-hmm.
At least say something, please.
Come say hi, Sharon.
Come on, man.
He's adorable. Too bad you guys can't see
he
him.
He is adorable.
Hi there. I'm Jeroen. Thank you for bringing me to the show.
See? Isn't that cool? I love that.
There we go.
This is the Drive Hop Monk Brouhaha. Herlinda, reintroduce our friends. The one that won't talk and the one that does.
He doesn't need to talk. He just gets to stand there and be cute.
He is cute. Isn't he?
Yeah, he's
even
adorable.
Saying,
that's
he's
his
cute.
Best part. But we have Kim Lenges and her husband, Jeroen, from the Netherlands.
Jeroen?
Jeroen?
How do you spell that?
J-E-R-O-E-N.
Okay. Which I did know that.
But, I like that.
So they are here on their honeymoon traveling.
I knew I'd make them talk.
Oh, yeah. That's one way to get people to do that. And Kim has the Dutch Beer Academy. She's like a beer sommelier in the Netherlands. So they've been doing a little traveling here. So what do you think of, like Lagunitas is now a Dutch company because mm-hmm. Heineken is in the Netherlands and in Holland. So you guys are, like, related now.
Well, a little bit. Yeah. I think it's good, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what he said earlier. It's
Mark, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry. Sorry.
No problem.
I'm just saying to the audience.
All right. Yeah, it's a good development. It is what it is. People have to adapt. I mean, the craft beer movement is really big here, even bigger than in the Netherlands. And stuff like this happens, and I'm okay with it. I honestly am. I don't feel like people are selling out or anything. I think it's fine.
Yeah, but, yeah. I mean, you're going to get to see a lot more Lagunitas.
I just want to see my brewery stay in business and ongoing.
Exactly.
And I think the people at Lagunitas have to feel the same. And
seems like they
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah, I meant it as a positive that you guys are like now really.
I know, but they've been getting a lot of negative comments on the whole takeover thing.
Of course.
This morning on Anchor as well. It's like, seriously, guys, what do you expect people to do?
Mm-hmm. And, so, is AB, whatever it's called?
AB InBev, which is InBev. Budweiser.
Exactly. Yeah. Anheuser-Busch is the AB.
Yeah.
Are people more worried about them than they are, say, Heineken or...
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on that in the Netherlands and Belgium right now because AB InBev has been taking over some breweries. But for some reason, you can only be called a craft brewery if you have not been taken over. But at some point, you cannot grow any further if...
I understand.
If there's no more money going in. So it's just basic economy, right? You need to put in to get more.
I understand.
So what are some of your favorite places been for in
we're
California?
We're out of time. I'm sorry.
Right. Ah, bummer. Yeah. Society was awesome. And we're going to Russian River later, which is going to be great.
No, oh, you're
going to
love that.
Yeah.
Brotherhood Steam, dry hopped beer put together by Mark Carpenter for Chris Robinson.
That's correct.
Formerly the Black Crows, now Brotherhood.
Born at Petaluma at McNear's.
Yeah, you got to check this out. If they go to Anchor.
Yeah, or they can find it in stores.
Oh,
they
okay, cool.
Find it. Yeah,
it really is
if they
good.
They look online, I think it would tell them where, but yeah.
It really
it's a great
is good.
Beer.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, thanks to everybody. Mark and Herlinda, we'll see you next week. You guys, thanks so much.
Thank you.
A pleasure
thanks
to meet you.
Thanks for having us.